What up, everybody? It's a Bleep You Thursday in the District of Columbia, 10:03 a.m. Packed show for you. Brian Mitchell is here. He's already trying to tackle producers. Savannah McCann.
He challenged me.
He ran away, too.
Yeah, he's smart. Smart man. He's not dumb as Pete Haley.
Savannah McCann will join us at 10:45 for a Nats update. 12:30, Mike Tenier, Football Outsiders, will join the program. 1:30, Peter Rosenberg. 1 o'clock, get him ready. Bleep You Thursday. We want your calls. Who are you mad at? Inanimate or animate, whatever it is.
Car makers.
That's where I'd like to start, honestly.
Why do you put the battery somewhere else?
So we're just, the junkies, it's kind of like a shift change, like in hockey when the first line comes off, the second line comes in. So we get to talk to the junkies for like 4 minutes in between commercial breaks, and it's usually very fun and we're all laughing, but it's also like, all right, we got to go this way, you got to go that way. And EB's like, all right, hey boys, what's the lead story today? I was like, well, the lead story is Cody Betts' car broke down in the garage, and landfill Brian Mitchell, and Cody worked together to get him out. Now, it's my understanding this wasn't exactly Pep Boys down there. You guys it wasn't like a NASCAR race team getting the car.
I think if you'd have been down there, probably taken longer. So what difference does it make?
I'm not sure I would have helped. I did feel kind of point guardish in setting the effort up. When I was recording the promo yesterday afternoon, and you were coming from wherever you were, and I was in the little room with Mullins, and Cody comes up, and not that he's Cody shook, but he was clearly shook.
He was shook.
That his car wouldn't start. He had I've never heard of anybody has a car appointment. He's like, I have a 3 p.m. car appointment, and my car won't start. And we're like, all right, dude, calm down. And he took a video of what was wrong with his car, and it seemed like the battery or something. And listen, I don't know anything. So he shows me this video, and I'm like, all right, dude, just relax. You should try to get a jump start. And he's like, I'd love that. Do you know how to do it? And at that point, I'm like, no. I mean, I know how to jump start a car.
I don't park in that garage. You didn't know. He asked you, did you know how to do it? You said no.
I mean, I knew that I didn't have cables. I knew that I couldn't get into that garage, etc. So that's what, this is my point guard skills. I'm a facilitator. And I was like, I bet B Mitch knows how to do it. And Cody's like, yeah, I'm parked right next to him. Perfect. And then Mullins, the executive producer of the four of us, the glue that holds it all together, Mullins kind of stepped in. And Mullins, you tell us what the hell happened when you guys all went downstairs and I had to leave to go get my car.
Well, there's actually like a fourth participant kind of in the process,
too.
Yeah. Greg Heist?
No, he was the fourth participant was actually the point guard because he gave us what we needed.
Yeah, none of us had jumper cables, so we had to ask CK if he had any.
You were Scott Brooks. You knew you had a team. You never made that.
I like to think I was Mark Jackson.
Scott Brooks.
Mark Jackson. The Warriors were good, and then they got rid of Mark Jackson, and Steve Kerr started winning titles.
No. You were Scott Brooks.
I don't listen. You know how I feel about this. If you know how I feel about this, I don't want to be Scott Brooks. You call me Jim Zorn for all I care. Don't call me Scott Brooks.
You were Scott Brooks because you told all this stuff and you gave us nothing to do anything.
You
didn't even call a timeout in the last 3 seconds.
I at least sent you in the right direction. All right, Mullins. So CK, who is smart and prepared and tucks his shirts in,
right.
he was ready.
He did. He had the jumper cables. He also didn't know how to jumpstart a car, but he did give us the cables, and then he left it to us. So I got down there to the second floor of the three-floor parking garage here at 1015 Half Street, and we had B Mitch and Cody. They basically already had their cars facing each other, you know, like the proper position if you're going to jumpstart a car. And then is when, like, kind of a wrinkle hit. We look under the hood of B Mitch's car, and none of us can find the battery.
There is no battery under there. It's behind the seat.
It's behind the seat, apparently.
So my wife's GMC, her old car, had that also, where the battery was behind the shotgun passenger.
Yeah, but it's amazing how you go and you lift the hood and I go, okay, there's no battery.
So
knowing there's a battery in the car somewhere.
Like a battery has to exist. Unless you're driving a Tesla or something, there's a battery.
I think there's a lot of batteries in a Tesla.
Like not a normal battery you could jump a car off of.
I mean, probably could. I can't believe you just said there's no battery in a battery powered car.
I meant like a standard battery.
But you just said that.
Listen, I say dumb stuff all the time. So, Mullins, what happened next? So B-Mitch doesn't know where his battery is.
Right.
The three of you clowns are down there with CK's jumper cables.
So we moved my car and brought it in Mullen's car.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, so wait. You legit just couldn't find it and had to give up?
After I looked at it, I figured he has somewhere to go. I'm not about to go around here looking for an old place to find a car. After I got back in the car,
Service down there, so you can't just Google it
Out the owner's manual and I found out where the damn battery was. But we just moved Mullen's car up. And then we found his battery, and then we couldn't find the ports.
Yeah,
well, we found the negative port.
We found.
Hold on. Let's not skip any parts here, because you three geniuses first couldn't find a battery.
Right.
None of you had jumper cables.
Right.
I didn't have any cables.
Right. So.
Because I called AAA.
Now you have Mullen's car. Mullen's has that Chevy. Cody has a Jeep, correct?
Yeah.
And they're facing one another, prepared to kiss. Tell me what happens then.
So the first thing, we found something that we thought could potentially be a battery, and there was a plastic cover on it. We opened the plastic cover.
That's on my car. You did that first.
We did this on B-Mitch's car as well.
The
and
B-Mitch's dope ass Benz.
It was like a circuit board or something. It wasn't a battery at all.
And at what point, like, who pulls the cover off this thing? Because I'd be very hesitant to start messing with B-Mitch's car.
It was.
Were you nervous?
No.
Why?
We're trying to start the car. All the thing we worry about right now is getting a car started.
I hear you.
So after
he had a 3 p.m. appointment.
Yeah.
After we found the circuit board on B-Mitch's car, and then we moved my car into position, we also found the circuit board on my car.
Now, you just drive a regular Chevy. You couldn't find the battery?
They've changed up these cars now. They don't look like they used to look.
No. You can't find anything. Everything is just plastic
covers.
Everything
is covered up.
That's all everything is.
I'll say this. About a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, there was a young guy, probably like Cody's age, at the grocery store parking lot, and his car wouldn't start. And I was like, dude, you need a jump. He's like, can you help me? And I was like, I don't have the cables, but like, I can locate the battery in my car and let you try to jump off of it. Now, that's a Toyota. Maybe they just make them simpler. I don't know. But I to push back on the Scott Brooks comparisons, I could at least locate the battery in my car.
Well, your car is just easy.
That's how I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I had an 06 Ford, easy as hell to find the battery. 2020 Chevy, basically impossible.
Well, so you find the fuse box.
And then we look over here and we find.
Yeah, right next to it was the battery, which had multiple plastic coverings on it. It looked nothing like a battery.
Like they used to let the ports be open. Now they cover everything.
Yeah.
And his ground port, the negative, it was easy to get off.
Yes.
Positive was hard as hell. Then they have a little screw that sticks up. So you clamp it on that. I noticed one thing too. Cody never touched the cables when I was putting them I guess he thought it was going.
He was shook.
It was going to spark.
He thought it was going to explode.
Okay, I've got a few things to say here.
Were you ever fearful for your life?
No, never. But B-Mitch did one time tell me, "Don't touch the cables." I said, "That's fine."
I didn't want you to put them together.
That is fine. I mean, somebody's got to be the captain out there. But I do want to say,
and I had left.
Well, no, you
yeah, you were
the no,
not the facilitator here. I just want to say that the smartest thing I did all day was back my car in for the first time, like, ever.
Oh,
because I knew that it was going to die. Because it died in the morning. That's why I had a car appointment, because I knew I had to get something fixed. So it died in the morning. It somehow magically got running.
You know what that's called? Preparation.
Yeah, so then I backed in that day, and I was like, I might need a jump later. So,
all right, well, good for bully for you.
And then we got it. Well, we tried it at first, but you normally got to let it run for a little bit to charge up the battery a little bit. The first time, it just went clunk, clunk, clunk. And then I say, wait a little bit.
So who connected the wires?
Me.
You connected Mullen's battery?
All of them.
To Cody's battery?
Yeah, we let B-Mitch handle the high voltage situations.
I think if B-Mitch got shocked by a car battery, he'd kind of just flinch. He'd be like, ah. Like, the rest of us would die.
No, yeah, I'm fine.
30 feet.
That's why they put plastic things that you touch. So you don't touch anything up.
So you got the wires all put together. Cody gets in his car, tries to start it.
It didn't.
And it tick, 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 tick.
We had to wait a little bit. So let it charge. We waited about 2 minutes, and then I say, try it now, and boom, fire right up.
Boom.
Took it off.
Saved the day.
Took it off, wrapped it up, bang, out. Cody going to get his appointment.
So did you get to your car appointment?
Yes, I got to the dealership. And then we told them, hey, the battery's going to probably die. It's going to shut off. They turned it off, and then it died right there in the dealership. We're like, we literally just said that was going to happen. So then they had to figure out how to jump it or whatever. We're like,
they have the facilities to handle this.
But we literally just told you.
Who's we? Did B-Mitch and Mullen's go with you?
No, my dad and I, we met at the dealership.
Okay.
And $265 later, I got a new battery and an oil change.
That's not bad.
Well, I just told him, I said, I have a golf cart at home. It has 6 batteries in it. So
I've seen that golf cart.
It died. So I called the people and I said, well, I need to get some batteries. They said, well, you have 6 of them. I'm like, yeah. And they gave me a quote of 200 and something bucks. And I'm like, oh, cool. He said, per battery.
Why does that golf cart need 6 batteries?
I don't know. They have marine batteries in it, too. So I basically...
You put marine in front of anything, the price doubles.
Well, I just...
A marine screwdriver? That'll be $38.
It has not been driven in about... I'd say now, it's a year and a half.
The few times I've been in that garage and seen that golf cart, there's a lot of stuff. Like, it's become like a shelf.
Yeah, it's a shelf.
Yeah, because...
But you know what? I'm going to get it.
But for $1,400, I'm not sure I'd get my golf cart souped up either.
I mean, when the guy put about $12,000 into it, painting and doing all that stuff. I mean,
it's a cool looking golf cart.
I need to ride around the neighborhood everywhere.
Of all the things in your garage, I'd rather ride that than the $10,000 bikes. You can ride the bike. I'll ride the golf cart. It's kind of souped up. It's got like good wheels on it and stuff.
I don't think you can handle it.
Can you get the golf cart? Here's what I'd like to do when we have the pool party. Get the golf cart up and running. And your giant yard will do time trials to see who can do the best.
You're having a pool party, so you get the golf cart up and running.
It's your golf cart, dude.
Who cares?
I will.
I don't care to use it. So you want to use it? You need to get it done.
Can we start a GoFundMe for B. Mitch's golf cart?
Yeah, JP Finley. I know you got it.
Listen, how about this?
When
we start the gumbo business, I will waive the third installment of the 10% you owe me. I'll waive that towards the golf cart.
We can't start something when only one person is going to be doing the work, buying the product, and have all of the stuff to do it.
But B, again, I'm the facilitator. I'm the straw that stirs the drink.
No. Mm-mm. I don't use straws in my drinks.
Just paper straws. Paper straws are the worst.
My straw is I twist it up with my finger and I take it to the head.
I mean this sincerely. I'm glad you guys were able to help Cody out. Cody's a nice young man.
I also forgot to mention it was like 85 degrees in the garage, and I lost about a pint of sweat.
It was way more than that. It was about 95.
It was bad.
It was hot as hell down there.
I do appreciate the guys, and that's why, you know, lunch today is on me. A little thank you to the guys that helped.
And the facilitator.
No.
Cody, you were just going to go down there and, like, scream.
No, JP.
You had no plan until I ran into you in the hallway.
You cannot sit here and try to get involved when you did nothing.
The group text
you sat on the sideline on your hands, and you never called a damn timeout when you didn't tell them to go foul a person, so we had to get rid of you.
Listen, Cody texted the whole group, and he said, lunch is on me. Thanks so much for the help. I'm on the group thread.
Well, I meant to add CK to that and take you out. That was my bad.
Don't worry. We could just go get CK's order, and JP would have to drink air pudding and wind sauce.
Listen, 2:36 p.m. yesterday. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the help. Lunch is on me tomorrow. You know who the first person to respond with a thumbs up was? Me.
Well, of course it was you. Because you didn't do anything. You were already home.
Trying to take credit for something somebody else does.
And they were still driving home. You were already home.
I was not home yet, for the record.
He was at Giant, probably trying to get him some pink grapefruit juice.
I need to re-up.
And Old Bay.
I need to re-up. Good news, the Old Bay shortage is over. It appears that there's Old Bay everywhere.
There was never a shortage.
It was never a shortage, just that your lazy ass didn't go find some.
I don't know if all that's true, but what I can tell you is that...
Oh, we know it's true.
There's now...
Put it up for a vote.
No, I don't think. I think I'm facing a tough jury here. I'd like impartial jurors before we put this up for a vote.
I don't think any jury is impartial.
Well, EB asked what the lead story was, and it was Cody's car.
Well, I just got a text, and they sent me a Boost Plus. It's a jumper. So you should have this in your car at all times.
How old's your car?
Maybe... 7-8 years old.
All right. I mean,
batteries, like, do run out.
Batteries run out.
Yeah. And he has ran out, and he has some good friends, Landfill.
How many hours do you have to log to pay the 260?
It is probably this paycheck.
Well, but don't worry about that, because he won that in a bet.
Well, he's got a system for slots.
Yeah, he won that.
Well, now I don't have money to get to the slot, so.
What bet did he win?
Stop worrying about all this, JP. We're trying to tell the story positively. You're trying to sit up there and make it gloom and doom.
I'm not glooming and dooming. I'm just.
He got a big brother named B. Mitch. it might be taken care of. So,
wow. How about that? Tailgate Ted tweeted and said, sounds like Cody needs to come to Oarsman this afternoon to learn a little bit
Tailgate
more
Ted,
about
how
cars.
How about you let him borrow that ice chest?
That van.
The ice chest.
Oh, the cooler.
The cooler. It's fast, too, Cody.
How long would it take to ride a cooler from Ashburn to downtown D.C.?
2 days.
What would you do if you're driving down the Dulles Toll Road and you see a dude eastbound on a cooler?
I'm going to stop and pick him up. I'm going to say, you got some beer in that cooler? Yes. Okay. Get in the car. we're going to put the cooler in first, you know what I'm saying, and keep moving.
I guess you could go down Route 7. That's a little more pedestrian friendly.
Yeah, I don't think you should try that.
7, and then you, although that 120, is it 123 that goes through McLean and all those fancy houses? I wouldn't want to be riding a cooler on that. That road is bendy and a lot of hills. How's a cooler perform on hills? Do we know?
Tailgate Ted.
Tailgate.
He's the only one we know that ride a cooler.
TT, let us know. all right, when we return.
Oh, boy, we could take you some directions in this show, I tell you, brother.
When we return, I want to talk some Washington football team. We have this Jerry Jones audio from
yesterday. But if anybody was wondering what we were just talking about, was it about sports? Yes, we talked about teamwork.
And we're trying to form our own
pit crew. And we talked about terrible coaching.
We're trying to form our own pit crew. We could do F1, NASCAR, hey, whatever.
If we were doing a pit crew yesterday, we lost the race.
Not being able to locate the battery is pretty tough.
Hey, listen to that. But if we were going to a real race, we would know where it was.
Stephen B., I appreciate you, Stephen B. On Twitter, he says, man, they're going hard at you to start the day. This is my life, Steve. All I did was facilitate a car rescue for Cody, and nobody wants to admit it.
So, Steve, it's just like you calling in and saying what you did to help the Washington football team win any of those Super Bowls.
Uh-oh, B-Mitch. Ren Gambino just tweeted me, said, what about Aunt Haney calling B-Mitch out in the Oklahoma drill? Don't want to talk about that. Huh?
Well, what is it, Ren Gambino?
Yeah.
We lined up, and he ran back in his studio. So
that's true. I had my phone out.
I'm not worried about Aunt. How about you show up, Rim?
I love Ant. He's a really fun dude, but you will wreck him.
Man, he knows that.
Ant weighs 85 pounds.
Soaking wet with a brick in his pocket.
Let's, it's been a hell of a start.
I may not be what I used to be, but I still can run through some damn people. So if you want to try it, bring it.
I want to be clear, unequivocal, on the record. I do not want to try it. I do not want to try it.
Hey, every once in a while, I get a flashback.
When we come back, we got to play some Jerry Jones. Wants to go to the Super Bowl.
He'll do anything for it.
How bad do you want the Washington football team to go to the Super Bowl? When we return, 106.7 The Fan. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. The San Francisco 49ers paid a lot of money to Fred Warner, an all-pro linebacker last season.
A lot.
$40 million guaranteed, $95 million over the course of a five-year contract extension. Well, it's interesting you ask that because I want to get into that a little bit. Fred Warner is a third-round pick in 2018,
mm-hmm.
which means he's played 3 seasons in the NFL and is going into his 4th season.
Mm-hmm.
Standard rookie deal is a 4-year deal.
Yes, sir.
First rounders, there's a 5th-year option, but most rookie deals are 4-year deals.
That.
Right. So why did San Francisco do this now when he has another year under contract? There's a number of reasons. One, a third round player makes about $1 million a year,
mm-hmm.
which after taxes and agents and everything else, he's maybe taking home just cash from the league, from his paycheck, $350, $400, something like that. Mm-hmm. Call it $450, you want to call it.
Something like that.
Which is really good money to most of the world, but to an all-pro NFL player, that's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
So he's got 3 years making that much money. He's 1 year away from free agency. But that is when the intersection of a player that's very interested in an extension and a little bit of an advantage for a team collides.
Yeah.
You get it done before. Listen, once you get to training camp, once he steps on the field for week one of the final year of his contract, I'm not hearing anything else about an extension. I'm getting a free agency.
So what you're saying, before he starts hearing what's the possibilities, you lock him up.
And the key to getting someone locked up is a real offer.
A real offer.
Young players in the NFL aren't doing hometown discounts. That doesn't exist.
A real offer with a lot of guarantee.
Right. With a real offer that the player knows is legitimate, that you're making them a priority, and you're giving them a bunch of cash.
Yeah.
That is where that intersection exists, is going into the final year of a rookie deal, especially for players. First-round players get guaranteed money. First-round players generally tend to make $10, $12, $14 million. Mm-hmm. And that's not, I'm not talking about top five guys, top 10 guys. I'm saying if you go 18th, you make real money. And then when a team picks up your fifth year option, that becomes fully guaranteed. So first round players have a different mindset than anything that happens after that. And I bring up the Fred Warner contract. The Colts are about to do, I think Schefter reported yesterday that the Colts are looking to do at or something very similar with Darius Leonard, who's their two-time All-Pro young linebacker and just a stud. I think the Colts and the Niners are widely considered really good franchises that make smart decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I bring this up because Darius Leonard, I believe, is also a third-round pick. Maybe he's a second-rounder. But it's the same, it's a similar scenario where he hasn't made first-round money. He's making about $1 million a year. And you're not only interested, but motivated in a contract extension. For the player, you get security, you get a boatload of cash,
mm-hmm.
and you know where you're going to be. For the organization, you lock up one of your star players, and you get the advantage of having the fourth year from that rookie deal as part of the extension. In turn, that drives down the average annual salary for that player. If you look at it over the course of the deal.
Yeah.
Not to mention, Brian, it gets you off the highway to hell that is the franchise tag.
Uh-huh.
When you get on the franchise tag highway.
Because you may have more than one person that year you want a franchise, so you're going to lose somebody.
Certainly that. And once you start to deploy the franchise tag, just look at it league-wide, but certainly here in Washington, the odds of getting a long-term deal done decrease significantly, exponentially. So you mm-hmm. want to identify your best young players, particularly non-first rounders,
yeah,
and get contract extensions done with them.
Because like I always say, first rounders are not the only people on your team that can play.
Totally.
Yeah.
Fred Warner would tell you that.
Mm-hmm. So?
Darius Leonard was a second rounder, 36 overall.
You wouldn't bring this up unless you're trying to give me an angle with the Washington football team. So,
correct.
Where are you going?
So you look at the roster. The situation with Brandon Scherff, long-term contract-wise, is officially done for this season. The mm-hmm. deadline was last week.
It may be done for...
I think Brandon Scherff's going to be a free agent next March. Yep. And I they're not going to use another tag because the tag jumps so much in the third season.
It's 30%.
Right. They're not... You're not going to tag him again. And if you can't get a deal done now for the last couple of years, it's just not going to happen. Maybe he ends up coming back as a free agent, but he's going to be a free agent. That's the way I look at that.
But if he comes back as a free agent, you're paying him what he wanted all along.
Right. Which is
so you should have just did it.
Appears to be the problem. Totally. Yeah. You don't want to get on the franchise tag highway.
Yeah.
It's a bad you know what it is? It is Quantico, Virginia on 95 on a Friday afternoon. That's what the franchise tag is. It's hell. It is 66 at rush hour with the never-ending construction. It is 270 going north to Gaithersburg. It is the Bay Bridge on the Friday of Labor Day weekend. You don't want to be on those roads.
Straight hell right there.
Straight hell.
Yeah.
The franchise tag is a road to nowhere, as the Talking Heads would say. So, you see the Niners locking up Fred Warner.
Yep.
You see the Colts making moves to lock up Darius Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
The Brandon Scherff thing is different. He's a first rounder, and it's done already. It's not happening. You look at Jonathan Allen. It's different, again, because he's a first rounder. He's made a lot of money.
And I don't think they want to go down that franchise tag highway at all.
Because I think John Allen's a really good player. Is he a top five interior D lineman in
What's
the NFL?
Average? Probably about 19.
Probably damn near 20, yeah. I don't think you can tag him. And if I'm John Allen and I'm John Allen's agent,
I want you to tag me.
Sure, but I don't. But if I'm John Allen and John Allen's agent, and I'm now a year, I mean, how close are we to week one? It's on my sheet, right?
Oh, yeah.
52 days. John Allen's 52 days away. He's already made significant money. I mean, how far down did he slide? I don't remember where he was drafted off the top of my head. I want to say 17.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, 17th overall. So John Allen has already made 15 mil. John Allen's already made 12 mil, and he's being paid guaranteed 10 mil for this season for the fifth year option.
Mm-hmm.
That's $22 million. Say taxes takes half of it. He's got 11 mil in the bank. You're not in a hurry to do a contract extension when you have 11 mil in the bank. Whereas Fred Warner, depending on how much he's, whatever, mm-hmm. roughly has about a mil and a half in the bank. That's a very big discrepancy.
Yeah.
So I think for John Allen, you're running out of time. I've long said Labor Day weekend is the time to get that deal done.
And the best time to do it is when the person does not have it. And when they start getting close to free agency, in a player's mind, I have what people are saying I can get.
Hell yeah.
You know, so if someone is out there saying, oh, he could get $55 million, and you come in and say, oh, we can give you $40 million, you're like, one finger salute. But if you come to me when I'm making $800,000 and you offer me that $40 million,
right,
I sign it.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
So you've got, so you keep working your way down the line, and it's a little too early to start talking about Montez and Chase Young, but you've got Daron Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Daron Payne is under contract for the next two seasons. Next year will be the fifth year option. Plus, Daron Payne's got about $25 million. Even take your taxes out, call it 13. He might not be in a hurry to look at a contract extension. If they want to try to get that done, maybe you try to get that done late this season, early next offseason, before the new league year even opens. But you're not in a particularly bad spot with Payne because you still have 2 years left.
You're not in a bad spot, but I think something we have to look at. Other teams who've had more success, they seem to take that route of offering people ahead of time. But here what we've heard is they signed the contract.
Here's the player that needs to be at the top of this list.
Mm-hmm.
Terry McLaurin.
I'm with that.
Terry McLaurin is a third-round pick, just like Warner.
Mm-hmm.
A third-round pick from 2019. In two seasons here, he's gone over 2,000 receiving yards with 11 touchdowns. First 1,000-yard receiver in 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's a third-round pick. Makes that roughly $1 million a year, which is good for regular people, but not good for 1,000-yard receivers in the NFL. His contract runs through 2022, but if you want to get that deal done, it's going to be miles more advantageous for the organization and for the player to get it done in 2022 when he still has a year left and it's a contract extension and you get the added benefit of that final year of the rookie deal,
yeah,
to drive down the average annual salary,
yeah,
rather than 2023 when he's looking at free agency.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people need to try to look at when you see these huge contract extensions for young players is how does it impact my team? How can we make a move
and
here?
And the thing about it, you see it happening so many times, and you're absolutely right. Like, I think Warren is going to be making 900-something thousand, 800-something, 97,000, something like that,
yep,
his last year. Then that next year, it jumps up to somewhere over, what, 12, 13 mil,
right,
a year. But that 800-something brings it down. But see, this is what he's looking at. The upfront, I can do with that this year. But next year, I go right back up. And I think ultimately, when you wait until the person is completely free and others start stepping in, and it's not necessarily the money, the actual price. It's how you word it, you know. And we have a ton, and people have to realize, yes, you want a lot of first-rounders on your team. But when you have a lot of first-rounders, the salaries go up quicker than the teams that don't have a lot of first rounders. And all those guys are looking to get that second contract at a major, major level. So when you have those other people and you can come in and offer them something, and, you know, other teams will write something in it, like they call them the killer clauses. Okay, well, we'll give you 90% of your money in the first year. Most teams can't deal with that. They can't handle it.
And you get the signing, the player gets the signing bonus cash up front.
There you go.
But you can spread the signing bonus out on the salary cap over the life of the contract. So if you do these extensions, that gives you one more year to spread it out where you're paying them, to your point, B, that $900K. So you prorate whatever the signing bonus is, 20 mil over 5 years. So all of a sudden, the cap charge would be 4.9 mil. It's what smart teams do. I believe the Washington football team has smart people in control now, and I'd like to see those types of things executed. What I'd also like to see is our friend Savannah McCann. We're going to talk to her next, get a little update on the Washington Nationals and what they should be doing 1 week out from the trade deadline. 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along social media. You can follow Brian at BMitch30 on Instagram. You can follow me at JPFinleyNBCS. Right now, time to go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Talk to our friend from MLB.com, Miss Savannah McCann. Savannah, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I'm doing well.
We are doing well. The Fantastic. Nats are rebounding a bit. I know last night was a loss, but they took 2 out of 3 from the Marlins, including dropping 18 on them. They're, you know, kind of staying around the hunt here. They got 3 against the Orioles. You'd like to think that's a sweep, honestly. What are things looking like to you 1 week out from the Major League Baseball trade deadline?
So what Mike Rizzo told reporters was that he wanted to see how this next week was going to shape up before they decide if they're going to be buyers or sellers. So this could be one of the most important weeks of the season. You have the Orioles, which you said should be a sweep. You should be able to outplay the Orioles. Maybe you drop one of the games, fine. But then you have 4 games against the Phillies in Philadelphia, which they're not easy to beat all the time. So that is going to be like the most important 4 games of the season to decide, okay, are we going to buy and invest in this team, or are we going to start trading?
Damn, that's crazy to think like the most important stretch is coming right now. Who do they have pitch? I mean, is Scherzer lined up for any of these games? Ideally, maybe you get to see him twice over the next 3 against the O's, 4 against the Phils.
He should be up there. Let me see if they've announced where he's pitching, but we'll see him pitch before the trade deadline, which is good.
If they're going to buy, and I feel like Rizzo doesn't have it in him to be a seller. He's just so hyper competitive. And if they were to buy, I mean, there's a million players in baseball they could target, and Rizzo's so good at targeting kind of under the radar guys. But if they end up being sellers, what do you think are realistic pieces they would put out there on the trade block?
So before, they were adamantly saying Scherzer is untouchable. We are not trading Scherzer. That is total rumors. And then the other day, I'll read the quote verbatim of what Mike Rizzo said. He said, if we turn into definite sellers, everything would be on the table, I would think, which I don't foresee. That was point blank period when someone was like, would you trade Scherzer? It was not the untouchable answer we always get. It was a, well, if we become sellers, like everything's on the table.
Does everything means like Turner or Soto?
No.
I wouldn't imagine, but.
Because I'm starting to get pissed off.
It better not be Soto. It shouldn't be either of them. Do you think, Savannah, they'll ever re-sign one of their own hitters? Like looking down the road, to Trey and Soto. Now, Soto's got more time than Trey. I understand that. But can't they just pay one of their own guys?
That is something that I've seen. It's a trend that they do. They just let people walk, or they try to sign them and it doesn't work out. But I would have to imagine at least Soto gets re-signed. These may be the last couple of years of Trey, but I'd have to imagine at least Soto gets a second contract.
I mean, good.
How can the mindset of a team be, oh, when a guy get big, we just always let him go? Because, listen, I understand before you get a World Series, you know, you might do some things. And once you get one, I'm more like the Yankees. I think I need to start trying to get more. A lot of teams seem to be satisfied.
And that's just it of now is the point where you want to sign your young guys, build up your farm system again. They had a great draft, so work on that of, okay, Soto's a young, huge talent in baseball. Sign him, lock him down, make sure that you know for the next 10 years you have Juan Soto on your team. When you don't need to re-sign these guys, some veteran players for 1 or 2 years and hope that it works out in the short run.
You got to wonder with the money they're committed to with Corbin and Strasburg down the road.
They have it.
They have the money. They just have been reluctant to spend it. Savannah, let's do this. What are the odds you think of Scherzer getting moved? And does he not have a no-trade clause? Couldn't he just veto it if he wants?
Yeah, he can veto any trade, which is why, in my heart, he will be on this team past July 30th.
But what
I don't think he wants to move midway through the season. That would disrupt his whole flow.
What if he wanted? What if he got to go to a contender? What if, I don't know. I mean, say like the Brewers or somebody added him and he thinks he can get another ring.
That's the part of me where, like, seeing how Scherzer is, he's such a loyal guy. Where does loyalty take place over winning? He has the one ring, and I think getting the first one was important to him. He finally could say he's a World Series champion. I think if they hadn't won in 2019, this would be a different conversation. But since he has that one under his belt, I don't think it's as important to him of, I need to leave midway through the season to go get a ring.
I think loyalty works until you say you're trying to trade me.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you're telling me you're not loyal, so I don't have to be loyal anymore. I think if he could get a chance to go to a contender, he'll leave. But if not, he'll try and stay.
I just imagine when anytime Davey tries to pull Scherzer out of a game and he's not into it, he just shakes his head and yells at Davey and is like, no. I imagine that's exactly how this conversation goes. For like, hey, so listen, the Brewers called. He's like, no. They're like, okay, sorry. You're right.
I don't know if you can just take no for an answer, because I know Cade Cavalli and I know they just had a good draft, but I also know that the Nats farm system is rated as one of the worst in baseball. So at some point, you got to bring in some reinforcements. Savannah, we always appreciate your time. Where are you going to be this weekend? You get to cover any of these Natos games?
No, I'm in Padres coverage all weekend. So Padres Marlins.
Well, wow.
Padres are fun to watch, man. Tatis
yes,
is a bad
are.
Dude. Well, thank you very much for the time. Everybody give her a follow on Twitter at SavJ. We will talk soon. Thanks, Savannah.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Next on the program, let's check in on our dear friend, Mr. Jerry Jones. Dallas Cowboys, what he's willing to do to win a Super Bowl. And then I want to ask the world, what are they willing to do to win a Super Bowl? 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.